this morning, as we're marking the 10-year anniversary of the rebuilding of our church, I wanted to take the occasion to look at a passage in Haggai, if you want to turn there in your Old Testament, Haggai 2. And I want to share with you three verses that, if I had to pick my life verse, this is it. This is what got us through a very difficult period in our church's history 10 years ago. And it's just near and dear to my heart, as all of God's word is. But Haggai chapter 2, as you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. Reading from the English Standard Version, Haggai 2, verses 7 through 9, hear the word of the Lord. And I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. In 2013, we had a terrible church fire. In the year 586 BC, there was a terrible church fire in Jerusalem. It was an act of God's judgment for hundreds of years of unfaithfulness, hundreds of years of assimilating the gods of the surrounding culture. And God allowed the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar to come in and invade Judah. You can read about it in 2 Kings 25, Jeremiah 52. We've started a series in Isaiah. Isaiah is predicting this coming judgment. For 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar came in, burned the temple down, broke the pillars, stole all the bronze, gold, silver articles, took the Israelites into captivity for 70 years. Then God, in his grace, intervened. And in your Old Testament history, he called the Israelites to come back. It's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild the building that was taken by fire. And in Ezra, they started the rebuild. And when they started it, they were zealous. They were ready to go. In Ezra chapter 3, they located a site. They reinstituted the sacrifices. They had a groundbreaking ceremony in Ezra chapter 3. And then we read in Ezra chapter 4, it all came to a standstill. And for 15 years, they just sat on this foundation without finishing the building project. 15 years, why? Well, it's an interesting story. You can read about it in Ezra. It's funny to me. Lawyers got involved. Lawsuits got involved. And it just cost a lot. The harvest season had not been good for a few years. There was a drought. And the people, frankly, just weren't willing to dig any further into their pockets to finance a rebuilding program. It just wasn't good timing. It wasn't good timing to make the necessary sacrifices that a building project requires. But, you know, similar to getting married or having kids, if you think you're going to wait to get married until you have enough money, or if you think you're going to wait to have kids until you have enough money, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. There are just times in life you have to step out on faith or you'll never do it. And they had been going on 15 years. 15 years, they were tired of the work. And I get that. I understand it, because that kingdom work is exhausting. It is exhausting. You know that. Building projects are exhausting. It is one of the most difficult things for a pastor to go through. It's one of the most difficult things for a congregation to go through. And it's easy to lose sight of the bigger vision, and it costs a lot, and you have to deal with people, and not everybody pulls their weight. You have that old 80-20 rule, 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And people start strong, and they have good intentions, but then they bail along the way. It's easy to get disillusioned when results aren't being seen at a certain pace. And it's just, it's hard. Building is hard. And it's no surprise that they took out 15 years. Well, after 15 years, and, you know, everybody's getting older and fatter and more comfortable, and ideals are starting to die, and kind of forgot what you were doing with this building project in the first place, God sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah to tell the people, 15 years, get on with it. Build this building. Build it. And I love how he sets the importance of the eternal perspective here. This is what gets me going in the morning. I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. God has set the church, God has set the cosmos, all of creation, on this undeniable trajectory in which earthly kingdoms and earthly powers and earthly dominions, the nations, all of these opposing forces to Jesus Christ and his gospel, willingly or unwillingly, at some point, will bow into the rule of the Lord. Nations are political, social structures in place by their own power and wisdom and resources might think that they're going to last forever. They won't. The Lord is shaking the nations. There are a number of God's shakings and interventions throughout history before that final and last shaking is coming. The day of the Lord, the final judgment, followed by the new heaven and the new earth. This is God's encouragement to church builders. That's how I read this. That's how I read verse 9. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. It's very easy in the building of God's kingdom to get pessimistic. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to see the problems rather than the solutions and the possibilities. And facing a rebuilding program, you have a colossal task in front of you. It means fundraising. It means unknowns. It means countless hours of committee meetings. You know I love committee meetings. It means disagreements. It means sharp words sometimes. Sometimes healthy disagreements. Sometimes not so healthy. That's human nature. But I'll tell you what happened 10 years ago. Well, 10 years ago we dedicated this building. What happened the 2 years before that, in the fire of 2013, I can say this with great confidence in hindsight now, God brought me, God brought this church to a place where we had no choice at all but to fall on our knees and ask him for help. And I there's not a day in my life I don't look at this building and give thanks to God, because it is his work. We recognized we needed his help. We prayed and he helped us. And this building is a testimony to that. He says in verse 7, I will fill this house with glory. I will fill this house with glory. You know, glory, there's a material aspect to it. It does speak to splendor and beauty. And this is a beautiful building, I think. I think it's gorgeous. But there's something more important than an impressive physical structure. It has its place, and you need a church building. It plays a vital role in our society, and Lord knows we need that today. But the real glory of a church is the presence of God. And it's that glory that's revealed in Christ Jesus. That's what adorns the temple. That's what adorns the church. The chief glory of any church is the presence of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is not in the temple, the glory is gone. How is the church made glorious by his presence? It's made glorious by his presence through the preaching of God's word, through the reception of his gospel, through the administration of sacraments like we've done this morning, by the prayers of the people. There's a plaque. If you ever want to come up, this pulpit's for everybody. You can come see this plaque. Dedicated to those who through generations shall hear proclaim the gospel. I love that. I found a great quote by John Calvin on this very passage in Haggai. He said this: God still shakes the nations today when the gospel is preached, for he forms anew the children of Adam after his image. This spiritual regeneration is such an evidence of God's power and grace that he may justly be said to shake the heaven and earth. This heaven and earth needs shaking, and it needs to be shaking by the Word of God. And that's what a biblical church is all about. And I just think back, you know, as today we're commemorating 10 years. I think back, we dedicated this facility on September the 20th, 2015. And I think back at just the incredible amount of ministry, the ministry of God's Word that has occurred in this building. It's amazing. I used to say hundreds of people, but I can say today thousands of people. Thousands of people in the last 10 years have engaged in worship, engaged in Bible studies, engaged in small groups, engaged in meals, fellowships, ceremonies, concerts, programs, graduation services, chapel services, rehearsals, cultural programs, Sunday school classes, vacation Bible schools, baptisms, marriages, funerals, counseling. There is just a tangible and an intangible ministry to the souls of human beings in a Bible-believing church that is so important to human life and flourishing. And we are so blessed. We are so blessed to have a beautiful gospel message and a beautiful gospel house. Thank God for that. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally do. If you were here 2013, 2014, so from the fire of 2013 into the rebuilding in 2014, 2015, could I just ask you to stand? I'd just be curious to see how many people are still here from 10 years ago. Okay, I'm saying that's about half the church. I'd say over half was not here. Just one second, bear with me. These are the giants on whose backs we are standing. On July 13th, 2013, we were faced with a devastation that could have easily been the end of this church. Churches closed for a lot lesser things. But these folks, these people who are standing, they dreamed big, they stretched big, they believed big, they gave of their gifts, their service, their time, their talents, their encouragements, their prayers. You gave it all for God. You gave it all for your children. You gave it all for my children, for generations to come. You stood up for what you knew would be the right thing to do. We didn't always know what the answers were going to be. You pushed yourselves further than you thought you could go. And friends, today is a testimony to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And I thank God for that. If the rest of you would please stand. We want to, I'm calling this a rededication using the liturgy that we used 10 years ago. I joked with the men's study, it's a rededication. That's a nod to our Baptist friends. We're rededicating. In your insert, there's a sanctuary rededication. I would like to invite you to read the responsive parts in bold, and then we'll have our closing hymn and prayer. Beloved in the Lord, we are gathered to consecrate and set apart this house for the worship of the one living and true God. Let us therefore dedicate this place to its proper and sacred uses. To you, God and Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we dedicate this house. To you, eternal Son of God, Redeemer of your people and head of the church, we dedicate this house. To you, Spirit of God, Lord and Giver of life, our teacher, sanctifier, and comforter, we dedicate this house. For the worship of God in praise and prayer, for the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, for the celebration of the holy sacraments, we dedicate this house. For the diffusion of sacred knowledge, for the promotion of righteousness, for the extension of the kingdom of God, we dedicate this house. For release of the captives, for recovering of sight to the blind, for rest to the heavy laden, we dedicate this house. For comfort to those who mourn, for strength to those who are tempted, for assurance to those of little faith, we dedicate this house. For the sanctifying of the family, for the nurture of the young, for the perfection of believers, we dedicate this house. In gratitude for for the gracious keeping of the divine covenant throughout past generations and reliance upon the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church and the hope of the eternal glory of the church triumphant, we dedicate this house. Friends, let's sing our closing hymn of response, hymn number 347.